If you've ever been through anything in your life, how many have been through something in your life? I'll do both hands. Listen to the words of this song.
Strength to the weary,
yes.
And to the one without vigor, he adds might. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But they who wait for Adonai will renew their strength. They will soar with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. Thank you.
And we surely do continue to rejoice in that wonderful name of Jesus. Glory to God. I want to turn this morning to the 5th chapter of Judges. Judges 5. And let's begin with verse 6. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied. The travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. This is Mother's Day, and so I want to speak this morning on the defending mother. There are actually two illustrations of that, as we are going to see. We find here in verse 7, the inhabitants of the villages ceased, they ceased in Israel, until that I, Deborah, that I arose a mother in Israel. One of the striking roles of a mother is that of a defender. And this fifth chapter of Judges is actually a song. Call it the Song of Deborah. It follows exactly the same pattern as the Song of Moses that we find in Exodus 15. That's after Israel experienced that great Red Sea victory. They have also experienced a great victory over the Canaanites at this particular point. And so this fifth chapter is a beautiful song commemorating what God has done and all of these different ramifications of that glorious victory that they won. And today I want to notice in verse 7, Deborah tells us that she arose. There were a number of things happening until I arose a mother in Israel. This woman was faced with a great number of problems and difficulties in order to motivate her, so to speak, in order to rise up and be the mother or the defender, as we'll see, that she was at that time. It is interesting here the different things that face them. Verse 6, the highways were unoccupied. Travelers walked through byways. Verse 7, inhabitants of the villages ceased. Verse 8, they chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear among 40,000? This tells us of the tremendous plight that they were in at this particular point. Back up to chapter 4. And we see more of why this came about, why Israel was in such a state that they were at this time. Verse 1 of chapter 4, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. This is a pattern you will find throughout this book of Judges. As long as the judge was alive, the people pretty well followed the ways of the Lord. They walked in his footsteps, in his path. And that judge passed off the scene. Then they simply went into idolatry. And God had would deliver them into the hand of the enemy. And they would cry out to the Lord and repeat the same pattern over and over again. That's exactly the same thing that happened here. In verse 2, we find that the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, and reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And so it is because they chose them new gods, it is because they went after others, that God delivered them into the hand of this time of the Canaanite. And so it was at this particular point that Deborah arose up as a mother in Israel. Now you will notice again in verse 3, children of Israel cried unto the Lord. They did that over and over again, and God was entreated of them. This time when they cried unto the Lord, he gave unto them this woman, Deborah. And as we find, she arose as a mother in Israel. I want to see today that Deborah displays, as well as another woman that we're going to view, Deborah displays many of the characteristics that we find in Proverbs 31 with the virtuous woman. Just a few verses from that chapter. She girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. She is not afraid of the snow, for her household, or all her household, are clothed with scarlet. And then the general summation, a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. And Deborah occupies or displays those characteristics. She was certainly one who did fear the Lord and look to the Lord, as we're going to find. So just who is this woman? Who is this mother that arose in Israel at that time? We begin to get a little bit more acquainted with her in verse 4 of this same chapter 4. And Deborah, a prophetess. And so she is indeed a prophetess. She is joined unto the word of God that is shown forth in a number of different ways. And her name is very significant. Find out that Deborah means a bee, or to speak. And that's exactly what she was. She was actually united. She was joined with, as it were, the word of God. The sweetness of that message, and then she was very authoritative, as we're going to find, because of such a message of God's word. And then, as we read here, she was the wife of Lapidoth. Lapidoth means firebrand. That name speaks of the very power of the Holy Ghost. She was joined unto Lapidoth. She was made one with him, telling us, spiritually speaking, that she was joined, or she was united with the power of the Holy Ghost. And then we find that she dwelt under the palm tree here in verse 5. She dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah. This likewise is significant in spiritual things, because we find out that according to Psalm 92:12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. This woman was indeed flourishing in such a manner in all of these spiritual ways, and she was a woman who was well equipped and well qualified to rise up and be the mother in Israel, as she says here. And so she also had a definite plan of attack. Keep in mind, she saw all of these things that we have seen, all of these negative things, these things that were holding Israel in bondage, and they were simply bowed down before the Canaanites and all of these things, and much of it their own doing. But this woman had a plan of action. And so you will notice in verse 6 that she sent and she called Barak, the son of Benoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, "Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and the children of Zebulun?" I want to point out here that the entire nation of Israel was not behind her. If you go through that song in chapter 5, there were those who just refused to come to the battle. There were those who refused to follow along. Some people are that way. They simply will not commit to anything. And so much of the nation did not do that. But we have learned over the years that doesn't make any difference to God. He can use the few. He can use just whatever is there in order to accomplish his purposes. And so this woman was instructing Barak. And you will notice it was with the command of the Lord. Has not God commanded this? This is what is so important about the defending mother. She has to be in absolute sympathy with God. She is joined together with him. And indeed, this woman was indeed joined unto the Lord. It tells us exactly the same thing as the virtuous woman. She that feareth the Lord shall be blessed. And so it was with Deborah at this particular time. And so you will notice that she instructs Barak in this, telling him of the instruction of the Lord and the goodness of the Lord. And then in verse 7 we read this, and this is what is so, again, so important for those who would fear God, those who would believe God and claim his promises, as we read here. I, that is, God says, I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon. Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, I will deliver them into thine hand. It means that just with an army of only 10,000, they face something much greater than that. But God says, if you will do this, then I will give you this victory. It was Deborah who stepped out. She was the one who was the, she said, arose a mother in Israel. She is actually the one who is leading the charge here. Then I also thought it rather interesting here that Deborah was an active participant in all of this. Verse 8, Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, I'll go. If you won't go, then I'll not go. She said, I'll surely go. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. That's another message. This woman was named Jael. But Deborah is still leading the charge here, and Barak is willing to go only if she does. So she is an active participant in all of these things that they are doing here. Well, let us jump down to verse 23. So God subdued on that day Jabin. This is a woman who believed God, and God honored her. God came through with exactly what he said he would do. And so he gave them the victory over these Canaanites at that time. God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel prospered, and they prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. Once again, let us point out, none of this would have happened if Deborah had not arose a mother in Israel. She was the defender that God intended her to be, and indeed he blessed her, and he blessed this entire army because of that. There is another mother who is a tremendous defender. Let's turn back to the 21st chapter of Genesis. Genesis 21. This, of course, the story of Sarah. And as we're going to find, Sarah also was a mother. We will see this in a little while. Galatians 4:26, Paul likened Sarah to Jerusalem, which is above, which is the mother of us all. She sets a sparkling example here of what Mother Grace does. She personifies Mother Grace, or the grace of God, and it is such a blessing for us to understand and to appropriate that same blessing for ourselves, because Sarah was a tremendous defender, as we're going to see. Chapter 21 of Genesis, in verse 1, we read, and the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. It is so interesting for us to realize Sarah was a woman of faith. We often think of Abraham being the father of faith, and indeed he is. I really am grieved at times when people point to the fact that Sarah laughed when God said she's going to bear a son, and many accuse her of laughing in unbelief, but the scripture doesn't bear that out. Scripture says of Sarah this way in Hebrews 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age. And then Hebrews tells us why. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Here's another, like the virtuous woman who feared the Lord, had confidence in the Lord. She trusted in the Lord. And so this is what God saw in her. And now we've come to the time where that she has conceived. Now she has borne this son, Isaac. And it is so important, again, to understand what happened here, because, as I say, Sarah is the personification of the grace of God. Isaac came into this world due to supernatural power. Sarah was a barren woman. She had been barren all of her life. And then she got to be now 90 years old. That's beyond the years of fruit bearing, even if she had had a dozen of them. But God waited until that time in order to accomplish his great miracles. This same thing is true in our lives in relation to Mother Grace. Every believer is born supernaturally. Every believer is born from above. Men can't do that. God takes that which is absolutely nothing, and God makes them fruitful. And so Mother Grace is the mother of every believer. That is an absolute fact. The only problem is there are many Christians that do not have the relationship with their mother that they should. They don't have that wonderful, they don't lay hold of the defender of this woman as indeed we should do. And so it was here that Sarah, yes, she conceived, and it was a supernatural birth that came to the fore here, and something, again, that only God could do. But let us go on down one particular portion here, verse 8. And the child grew. That child, of course, is Isaac. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. This is Sarah the defender. She is going to make sure that her son has all of this inheritance. The son of the bondwoman is not going to share in that in any way, form, or fashion. Now, sometimes people might think, well, that's a little selfish and all of these things. And, of course, if you go back through this story, you find out that there was a great deal of animosity and all of that that went on. We understand, of course, everyone, I'm sure, knows how that Sarah and Abraham could not bear children. And it was Sarah's idea that Abraham should take her handmaid Hagar and have a child by her. And of course, that exactly did happen. But when Hagar found out that she was pregnant, then her mistress was despised in her eyes. So you can bet there was some tremendous friction here. But we must go beyond that as to what God is trying to do. God is trying to preach a message here, and it is a glorious message in regard to the law and divine grace. And so as we see here in our text that Sarah is indeed insisting that this son of the bondwoman is not going to inherit with my son, even with Isaac. Again, I say it had to be beyond just human emotion. The reason I say that is because of what we read here. Verse 10, she said unto Abraham, cast out this woman and her son. Verse 12, God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. Here is another mother that was in absolute harmony with God. She got her direction, she got her instruction from God. You know there was an emotional tie here, no doubt about that, but we are talking about being in harmony with God. And when this woman was in harmony with God, then that is when she became the real defender, even as we find here, and that is exactly what happened with this situation. I want to go to the fourth chapter of Galatians, where Paul interprets all of this for us. Galatians 4. Paul is trying desperately to turn the Galatian saints away from the law. There are some teachers, were some teachers that came down to Galatia, were trying to convince the Galatians that, yes, you're saved by grace, you accept Christ, but then you are perfected by the works of the law. Paul devotes an entire book in order to turn that idea aside. Hebrews is written for exactly the same reason. The Hebrews, of course, were all Jews. Paul trying to turn them away from the ways of the law, showing them that men are not made righteous by the works of the law. No one has ever been made righteous in such a manner as that. And so we find here that God told Abraham, as we saw back there in Genesis 21, God had told Abraham, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. We know the fulfillment of that is in Christ. In Christ shall thy seed be called. That is where the wonderful victory is. And so here in this text, here in Galatians, the fourth chapter, Paul brings up this exact same subject in regard to these two women, the fact that they represent two different covenants. Galatians 4 and verse 22. It is written, Abraham had two sons, the one by bondmaid, the other by a free woman. He who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. This is what sometimes people don't understand. When they give themselves to the law, when they put themselves under the law, they are in fact walking after the flesh. Now, it really does seem like they are really doing something when they're keeping the law, but Scripture says keeping the law is walking after the flesh, and that is never going to bring us to spiritual maturity. And so he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. He of the free woman was by promise. Verse 24. Which things are an allegory? Paul says these are just symbolic of the greater spiritual truth that God wants to get across unto them and indeed unto us. And so we read here, these things are an allegory. They are the two covenants. Of course, the covenant of law is represented by Hagar, the bond woman. That's what law will do, is bring people into bondage, and indeed it does. And so these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which then genders to bondage, which is Hagar. Verse 25, this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answers to Jerusalem, which now is. This is the same Jerusalem through which Jesus walked, who ultimately delivered him to the Romans to be put upon the cross. It is this Jerusalem that now is and is in bondage with her children. Verse 26, but Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. And so this is where that we understand and we glory in the fact that Jerusalem which is above is a reference to the Abrahamic covenant. This is Jerusalem above. It is the grace covenant. And as Paul says here, the mother of us all. Mother grace, I say once again, is the mother of all believers. That will never change. There is no other way to get into the kingdom of God outside of grace through faith. And so mother grace is the mother of us all, as we see here. And so as we read, Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Verse 27, it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. God takes that which is impossible, and he creates something out of it. Sarah was the barren one, unable to bear a child. And yet God reversed that. And of course, this is where the real fruit is when God produces that. The same thing is true in our own lives. And so you'll notice It is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate, that would be Sarah, hath many more children than she which has an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac, are the children of promise. But in verse 29, as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. Exactly what happened back in the Old Testament between Ishmael and Isaac. And it was then that Sarah rose up. Verse 30. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. First thing we want to notice here, we are talking about inheritance, not life, talking about inheritance. And it is indeed the inheritance that Mother Grace insists that only belongs to her children. And then it is so interesting. Sarah is the one that uttered those words. She said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. Yet here Paul says, what saith the Scripture? As we already saw in Genesis, God agreed with Sarah. Sarah actually spoke the word of God, and that's brought out here, what saith the Scripture? And so it wasn't just her human emotion, though, as we pointed out, she certainly did have that. We're talking about God's word here. This is what God said. This is why that a mother can be such a defender when she is absolute harmony with God and his word. And I'll tell you, there are some mothers that really are forceful, and they should be in defending their children. When they are in harmony with God and his word, that's exactly what God wants in our lives today. But let's get back here to the typical picture of this, because we too must indeed be the recipients of this defense offered by Mother Grace. It is only through divine grace that we will ever obtain the fullness of the inheritance that God has for us. Again, it will never come through the law or any efforts of the law. It is all of divine grace. It is through the supernatural power of divine grace, as we see in these verses. And so God defended Sarah, and indeed he follows exactly the same pattern. Divine grace will prevail in our lives also if we simply surrender unto her. And so Paul concludes in verse 31, so then, brethren, we're not of the children of the woman, of the bondwoman, but of the free. We must claim that place as being a child of Mother Grace. And when we do, Mother Grace will defend us to the same degree that Sarah defended her son Isaac. And he indeed did receive the same Abrahamic covenant that had been passed down. And so defending mothers, we need them desperately, and trust that they too follow exactly the same principles and criteria that these two outstanding women did in defending their own.